Another dose of inflation numbers.
Marketplace Morning Report is produced in association with the University of Southern California.
From American Public Media in Los Angeles, I'm Scott Jagow. Today we'll find out how much we paid for things in September. That's retail inflation. Yesterday, the government said wholesale inflation was up 0.6% when you take out food and energy prices. That triggered some concern on Wall Street about a possible return to interest rate hikes. Marketplace's John Dimsdale tells us what we can expect today.
The inflation in yesterday's core producer price index was caused largely by a sharp increase in car prices at the factory level. Those will take a month or two to reach the showroom floor, so today's core consumer price index won't necessarily rise as much. However, the core CPI will likely be influenced by rents, which have been going up. Global Insight economist Brian Bethune says a slowdown in housing construction is causing a shortage of rental property.
More households are looking at a rental option, either because affordability in the housing market is just out of reach, or they're just fearful of actually going into the housing market at this point.
Despite higher-than-expected inflation, Bethune predicts the Federal Reserve Board will still see a slowing economy, and therefore won't hike short-term interest rates at next week's meeting. In Washington, I'm John Dimsdale for Marketplace.
Still, Wall Street acted concerned yesterday. The Dow fell 30 points, 0.25% to 11,950. The NASDAQ dropped 0.8% to 2,354. The S&P 500 lost 0.3% to 1,364. A federal judge has wiped Ken Lay's guilt off the books. The judge said Lay's death vacated those Enron convictions. The feds still plan to go after $43 million from Lay's estate in civil court. Life goes on for Merck. Sure, the drug company is taking on thousands of lawsuits over its painkiller Vioxx, but it still has a business to run. Yesterday, Merck won FDA approval for a drug that could replace insulin shots for people with type 2 diabetes. Rachel Dornhelm has more.
Merck's new drug is called Januvia, and it signals a new class of pharmaceuticals to treat type 2 diabetes. Merck is expected to charge almost $5 for the once-daily tablet, nearly 10 times more than some existing treatments. Pharmaceuticals analyst Donnie Wong says he's keeping an eye on whether insurers will reimburse for Januvia.
Payers tend to be resistant to the very most expensive, newest, latest, and greatest things. But one exciting thing that this drug class may possibly offer is the tantalizing possibility of disease modification.
That means in animals, the drug has slowed the progression of the disease. But Wong says it's going to take some long-term studies to prove it can do the same for humans.
And if that can be demonstrated, then the payers will be more than willing to pay for this drug.
Healthcare costs from the complications of type 2 diabetes come to about $100 billion a year in the U.S. I'm Rachel Dornhelm for Marketplace.
Where in the world is Wesley Snipes? The feds are trying to track down the actor so they can arrest him. Yesterday, Snipes was indicted for tax fraud. He's accused of cheating the government out of $12 million. Plus, the IRS says Snipes didn't even bother to file tax returns for 6 years. This is Marketplace. It's earnings season, and the profit reports are coming in fast and furious. Intel says third-quarter profits plunged 35% from a year ago, but the company's shares rose in after-hours trading. Some on Wall Street predicted a worse showing. At Yahoo, things were just as bad as expected. Profits were off 38%. The company predicted drooping sales for the fourth quarter. Shares fell 2.5%. More of the same at Motorola. Profits fell 45% in the third quarter. Sales grew at their slowest pace in five quarters. Shares dropped 8%. But IBM had nothing but good things to say. Profits jumped 47% in the third quarter on growing sales. IBM shares climbed 5% overnight. Today we'll get reports from Apple, eBay, and JP Morgan Chase. The Morning Report comes to you from American Public Media.
Marketplace Morning Report is supported by Fellows. Millions of businesses worldwide choose Fellows shredders for their shredding needs. Fellows, the bulldog of shredders. More at Fellows.com. By Mellon Financial Corporation, helping financially successful individuals and families protect and maximize their assets through the practice of wealth management. Mellon.com. And by The Economist magazine, which not only tells what's happening each week, but why. The Economist. At newsstands, in bookstores, and at economist.com.
This is Marketplace. I'm Scott Jagow. This week, some scientists attributed two events to global warming: Britain's hottest summer since at least 1659, and the collapse of an Antarctic ice shelf back in 2002. There's still a fierce debate over whether global warming actually exists. Commentator David Frum, for one, isn't convinced, but he still believes in the carbon tax, a tool environmentalists want to use to fight climate change.
You don't have to believe that global warming is a problem to believe that a carbon tax may be the solution. A carbon tax is a tax on all activities that emit carbon dioxide, principally the burning of fossil fuels, not just gasoline, but also natural gas, jet fuel, propane, and coal. Think of it as an energy tax with an inbuilt subsidy for renewable energy and nuclear power, our current best hopes for moving to a post-petroleum economy. Environmentalists like the carbon tax because they blame rising carbon dioxide levels for the increase in average temperatures that has been observed in the Northern Hemisphere since 1970. Now, we don't in fact know that recent warming represents anything more than a normal fluctuation in global climate. We certainly do not know that the dangers and costs of any warming would be greater than the benefits. So why a carbon tax? When I was at law school, cynical students used to joke that the best answer to any exam question about a judicial opinion was, right result, wrong reason. And that is what the environmentalists have reached with the carbon tax. The United States has failed dismally to prepare for the retirement of the baby boomers. Medicare, Social Security, and other programs carry liabilities so huge that they have led one famous economist to ask, is the United States already bankrupt? At the same time, the United States must pay for the long war against Islamic extremism. Yet the United States spends one-third less than it did 20 years ago on national defense, only about 4.5% of national income. So where is the money to come from? If the Democrats take Congress in a month, the Bush tax cuts will likely be allowed to expire. Taxes on saving and investment will rise at exactly the moment when an aging society will need all the saving and investment it can possibly encourage. We conservatives hate to see new taxes, but sometimes a new tax is the necessary price for eliminating an old tax. Almost 100 years ago, the United States replaced many of its high tariffs with an income tax. A good move, even the most taxophobic of us would agree. Today, conservatives want to see the end of taxes on capital gains and dividends and further cuts to the inheritance tax. Taxes on energy move us away from taxing productive investment toward taxing consumption. And taxes on carbon-based energy help move us toward a future in which the Persian Gulf region reverts to the obscurity it so richly deserves.
David Frum is a former speechwriter for President Bush and a resident fellow at the American Enterprise Institute. In Los Angeles, I'm Scott Jagow. Thanks for listening and enjoy your day.
American Public Media.
It's getting toward $500 billion by